Hello and welcome to Jibe Talking, the Volvo Sailing Podcast. I'm Guy Swindles, and boy, do we have some names for you this week, as Volvo announces a Legends Regatta for any previous participating boats in the Whitbread or Volvo Ocean races. We hear from some real legends. Grant Dalton, who also tells us about his America's Cup, Volvo and TP52 campaigns. Magnus Olsen, still trying to fly the flag for young Nordic sailors. And Mike Sanderson, who also discusses life after Team Origin. All this and Matt Sheehan too, with news on the next generation of America's Cup boats and the draft protocol for the event. Doesn't get much better than that. But here, as always, are the Volvo Sailing Podcast news headlines. Britain and Australia grabbed two golds apiece in the Olympic classes at the Kiel Week in the women's 470s and 49er classes for the Brits and the men's 470s and the laser for the Aussies. Germany and the USA both took four medals but no golds. After a windless conclusion, Team Germany wins the Audi Sardinia Cup 2010 ISAF Offshore Team World Championships. Overall winners of the Round Britain and Ireland race have been decided, with The Shed, Pip Hares and Phil Stubbs' Lightwave 395 emerging victorious. And we have winners for the Rolex Baltic Week, with Trivia taking the 12-metre class and YQM 2 the 8-metre Euro Cup. And Volvo announces a pre-start regatta for the next Volvo Ocean race, open to all boats that have sailed in the event's 37-year history. Well, we start with that Volvo regatta and one of Sweden's best known and indeed best loved sailors, as well as being a six-time Volvo veteran, Magnus Olsen.
I think it's so wonderful. It's unbelievable. And credit to whoever came up with that idea. I think it's very important for the whole offshore sailing that as many as possible of the old boats comes together in a friendly way and is out there on the water. I think it's very, very important for the future of ocean racing as well.
Magnus, will you be there on the start line next year?
Of course I will be there on the start line next year. But I'm also not giving up trying to get a Nordic-Swedish boat together. And I've been fighting for that for quite a while, and I'm not giving up. I won't sail in the next race because I'm way too old, but I would love to help the younger generation here in the Nordic, Scandinavian, Swedish country so they can get another chance to do well so they can take over while I'm becoming an albatross.
Now, Magnus, you've squired one team around the world. Have those guys come back to you and said, "We want to do this again. We can't believe this. Let's do another one."
Yeah, that's why I'm not giving up, because the feedback from those guys, the so-called younger guys on Ericsson 3, all of them was virgins. Except me and Richard Mason, and they're all coming back with we really like this. This was a good campaign, and we would like to continue, and so on. So yeah, I'm very delighted to hear that, and I think it's wonderful. But right now, it's not easy here in Sweden, the Scandinavian Nordic countries, to find the money. But as I said, I'm not giving up.
Well, I'm delighted to hear you're not giving up, Magnus, because the race wouldn't be quite the same without you. But will you be taking part in the Legends Regatta, even if you're not going to be sailing around the world next time?
Of course I will, and I'm very honoured to be thought of, and I'm very, very happy, and I'm already now looking forward, and I have no idea what these boats going to look like or anything like that, but what a wonderful idea, and of course I will take part in that regatta.
If you could choose one boat that you've competed in Whitbread or Volvo races, which one would you like to sail again?
Wow, I competed in Drum, in the Card, in Intermustitia, in EF, in Assa Abloy, in Ericsson 1 and Ericsson 3. I don't know. It's hard to say. Any of those boats would be wonderful, but of course they're really old ones. That would be. They are so much. I mean, they need so much more people to sail the Card, being a ketch. it would be wonderful. But then I think I had to find a crew of nice girls to take care of the mission, for example.
I wonder when we get round to that. Well, I look forward to Magnus with his maidens coming next year.
Yeah, but the five bikini girls taking care of the mission on a card, on a catch, would be wonderful, Guy. Don't you agree?
Magnus, I always agree when you come out with good ideas like that. Now, finally, Magnus, apart from trying to put a Nordic team together for the next Volvo race, how have you been spending the last year since we spoke last, and what are the plans? Any other plans for the future?
I did quite a bit of work with Ericsson up to the end of the year 2009. We had a wonderful time to do a lot of sponsor sailing, and we sailed with important customers to Ericsson and a lot of their employees and so on in the archipelago of Stockholm. That was a wonderful time. That was a little payback. And then I was involved with selling the two boats, which was, that was tough because I think Ericsson 3 and 4 was a very happy campaign and happy boats and so on. So that felt a little bit hard. Since the beginning of 2010, I've been fairly busy with smaller projects, doing a lot of lectures and trying to get money together for the next race. So that has kept me fairly busy.
Well, Magnus, thank you so much for joining us. Fantastic to chat to you again. And I look forward to seeing you with your five bikini-clad assistants on the start line in Alicante next year for the regatta, for the Legends regatta.
Guy, you are invited on my boat. Perhaps you should be part of that, bikini girls. You could take care of the outhaul on the mission.
I can't wait.
Good on you, and I hope to see you soon, Guy.
Hope so, Magnus. Take care. Joined by Grant Dalton, one of the great names of the Volvo Ocean Race, as well as other small things like the America's Cup and anything else you really want to say with a sail on it. But Grant, we're starting this week with the launch of the Legends Regatta for every boat. It's open to every boat that's ever sailed in the Whitbread or Volvo Ocean Race. First of all, what did you make of the idea?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. You know, there's the Hall of Fame in the America's Cup. The race is, formerly the Whitbread race. I mean, it has been the standard in offshore sailing, really, since it pioneered racing around the world in 1973. So to now recognise it in this way seems only fitting for those people that have raced in it and gone before and paved amazing careers in the sport too.
So can I take it that you might be on the start line of that regatta next year?
Well, I've got to find a boat first. Certainly love to. And I'm crikey, I can't even remember how many boats I've had in the race now. It looks quite a few. I assume my age. But absolutely. I mean, since the moment that I was informed of the race, I'm thinking, how would you get informed in 1981 when I first did it? Telex probably not, we're up to fax by that stage, but now by email and SMS, just straight away a huge supporter. And you look at guys like Knut Frosted, and his history is almost the same as mine. And so in supporting an idea from Volvo management of the current race, it just all makes sense.
Now, you mentioned you have a few too many to choose from. You've got 30 years' experience with this race that's been going 37 years. Have you had to think about, if you could choose any of the boats that you've sailed around the world, which one you'd take to this regatta?
Well, yeah, I think that, I mean, they always say that your first is always your favourite. And although I was only a crew member on Flyer back in 1981, I mean, that was for me really the start of it. So to me, it'd be a toss-up between Flyer, of which, as I say, I was just a crew member, and then probably New Zealand Endeavour, which in 1993-94 race, which was a very successful boat in many ways, not only because it won, but it was successful in New Zealand as well. It sort of paved a whole new way of sponsorship, which was followed for many years afterwards with the original America's Cup team that won it. They used the same model. So it'd be a toss-up between those. But if I had to choose, I'd probably rather go as a crew member racing on Flyer than I would, say, with my own boat with New Zealand Endeavour.
Any chance, do you think, of getting either of those?
Well, certainly Endeavour is still in its racing form. And my last time I saw it, which was in the last probably 8 years, it was in Scandinavia, back to its exact replica as such, with the sponsorship on the side. It was almost spooky. The wet weather gear hanging on the tags had been replicated perfectly to be exactly the same as the wet weather gear we used. So that boat for sure is around. Flyer was converted to a cruising boat by Connie some years later, and then actually, tragically, the boat was actually crushed in the Panama Canal. So it might have been restored again since, but not, I would think, available. But certainly Endeavour is around.
Now, Grant, this is one more event for you to worry about a bit. How are you juggling America's Cup, Volvo Ocean Race, TP52s, you name it at the moment?
Well, I guess what you learn over the years, and you normally learn from other people since I started doing the Whitbread race in my own campaigns, is that you're only as good as the people that work with you. And so, although it's very busy, the juggling isn't such a problem, certainly with the Volvo, because there's very, very good people that are actually running that program. Chris Nicholson is going to be the skipper, and Kevin Shoebridge, who has been with me, and really a veteran of the round the world race as well, and even with his own boat with me, with Peter Blake, and then with his own boat with Tyco. I mean, they know how to do this. So juggling for sure slightly, but my focus is trying to get us together back into the America's Cup, and Kevin Shoebridge and the boys are working mainly on the Volvo. Although in saying that I'm the primary contact with Camper, and we're very lucky to have such a great sponsor.
How are things looking on the America's Cup front at the moment, Grant?
Well, the draft protocol's out, and that looks reasonable. The draft potential boat rule, well, not rule, but concept is out, and that looks really expensive. So I'd say it's about as we would expect. I think Oracle have been reasonable to their sort of pledges of running a more fair regatta, but to me, it's still too expensive, and that will make it difficult for the commercial teams to survive.
Well, I hope everything does get resolved on that front. A final word on TP52s. Your five regatta winning streak came to an end in Marseille. Any reasons for that, or is it just fine that happens? Let's get on with the next one.
No, I don't think it's fine that happens. Let's just get on with the next one. That's almost too simple. You were about to use the word problems, and yeah, probably that's not isn't quite the word, but it's being addressed here. You could say that we're doing quite a lot of coming from behind lately, and we ran out of runway when the Mistral came in, but frankly, we knew the Mistral was coming. And Quantum sailed a very good regatta to win that one. So Barcelona is the next one. It'll be tough because it's a sea breeze, and it won't be much breeze, and it'll be quite a tricky race course. But we internally are addressing the end of a five regatta winning streak, which ultimately must come to an end. But if, long story short, it has to come to an end for the right reasons, and our feeling is that it came to an end for the wrong reasons, and so we're certainly addressing that.
Well, we look forward to seeing the right reasons and the right Emirates Team New Zealand at the next regatta. Grant, thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully catch up with you before too long.
Yeah, and just fantastically happy to be back in the Volvo race, you know, to realise that the spirit of human endeavour is still alive in the world of sailing, as opposed to what often is the case in the America's Cup.
Thank you, Grant Dalton. as well as Magnus Olsen and Grant Dalton, another former winning skipper in 2006 with ABN AMRO 1, Mike Sanderson will also be in Alicante for that Legends regatta.
Yes, Guy, I mean, it's obviously a huge honour to have been invited to attend a Volvo and Whitbread Legends. I don't put myself in that category. You know, obviously we had a great race with the ABN and the couple I've done before that. But no, I mean, it's very exciting. It's a wonderful concept, and you know, it sounds like the Alicante start is going to be quite a festive occasion with you know, the opening of new museums, and yes, it'd be wonderful if we can get some of the old great Volvo and Whitbread boats back there to celebrate the spectacle.
Do you think you might be able to get your hands on ABN AMRO 1?
Well, I don't know. As I said to Canute, I certainly hope I get my hands on ABN AMRO 1 and don't have to sail on the Maxi Ketch instead. So, yeah, I think ABN 1, I mean, apart from Ericsson 4, I guess she'll be the pick of them. If I had to get back on Merit Cup or New Zealand Endeavour, that'd be a little bit more disappointing.
No, it's funny. I was talking to Magnus Olsen about this, and he was looking for alternative entertainment should he be on one of the Maxis rather than the 70s. He was mentioning bikinied beauties and things like that, so I'm not quite sure what you'll see alongside you on that start line next year, but I hope it's suitable for family entertainment.
Yes, I'm sure, you know, I mean, I'm sure people will definitely get into the spirit of it. I mean, you know, it'll be wonderful to see the boats. You know, such a huge diversity in boats over even the time which I've been doing it. So from, you know, 93 through to 2006, you know, it is a big range of boats and boat speeds. So you know, it'll be quite the spectacle.
Now, Mike, it would be great to see you down there again. Given that, and I hate to put you on the spot a bit like this, but given that perhaps you're not with Team Origin anymore and you have a pedigree in the Volvo race, is there a chance we might see you on another start line in Alicante next year?
I mean, if I'd finished up with Team Origin earlier than I have done, for sure I would have been very keen to have got something together for this race. I am still very keen to do another Volvo Ocean race. But you know, I definitely, if I do it, I want to do it and do it properly and have a chance of winning the race again. You never say never, but it is getting pretty late, but we shall see. So no, still a huge appetite for the Volvo Ocean Race. Still love to get out there and go ocean racing. Just did the Newport Bermuda race last week, which, you know, even though it was only a 3-day jaunt on an amazing 100-footer, definitely was just fantastic to be out there and out there with a great bunch of guys and going ocean racing. So, you know, I would love to do it, but it would need to be in the right environment to make sure that it's enjoyable and a safe and a good experience.
So say we all to that. Now, Mike, the whole Team Origin thing, we won't go into details, of course, but how much of a disappointment was that for you?
Oh, I mean, it was, you know, it's I still have a huge amount of respect for what's going on at Team Origin. Obviously, I've set the thing up. I got lots of people involved. You know, I hired everyone and got lots of people involved. And you know, I think there's no doubt that you know, Team Origin should be able to go from strength to strength. For some reason, we didn't and weren't able to get the results. But that's not why, you know, my depart from Team Origin. The reality is that we didn't get the chemistry right, and so things needed to change. And I understand that in sport at that level. And to be honest, it wasn't working for me either. And so it needed to get put right. So what's happened. Things change and teams move on. I still believe that there's the talent and a great bunch of people at Team Origin that can go on to be very successful. So, I'm still a big supporter of it, and I'll certainly have left on very good terms with Sir Keith Mills. What he's doing for British sailing is it's a wonderful opportunity. And I really hope that people can realise how much he's doing there and start swimming all in the same direction so that it stands a better chance of success than it's had to date.
Well, as a paid-up Brit, I hope so too. But, Mike, as just on a personal front, so it does look as if it's getting a little bit late for a Volvo. Have you got short-term plans? What's next on the horizon for Mike Sanderson?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a very busy, 5 or 6 years, Guy. So, I've got a young family that have never, lived at home. We've been on the longest we've ever lived in one place at once, with them is weeks. So we landed back in New Zealand yesterday after 4 years. So, we've come and gone. But every time we've come back, we've always known that it's not too long before we're going again. So, landing yesterday had quite a different feel. It was actually, dare I say it, almost a little bit emotional, to kind of get the family home. And so I'm not in any rush, and that has a very nice feeling. I've got some wonderful sailing opportunities with Speedboat, the 100 footer, which I was really involved in the design and the concept, and she's on standby now for a transatlantic record attempt. We just did Newport Bermuda race, it's a fantastic group of people there, which I'm really enjoying sailing with. So that's kind of on a fun level, and which is great. And I will definitely, keep my ear to the ground for any Volvo possibilities. But yes, it is late, and I am going to be a little bit fussy. So, the chances of that aren't particularly high. So no panic for me. What I will do is, if nothing happens Volvo-wise this time, I will take some time off and in a few months' time start getting the ball rolling for the next Volvo Ocean Race, so the one following this, and really have a serious crack at trying to win that version of the race.
Well, Mike, enjoy some well-earned time off. Have a good time at home. And we look forward to seeing you round the traps when you're good and ready. But in the meantime, thanks very much for joining us.
Lovely, Guy. Lovely to talk to you as always. And we will speak soon.
Well, joining us now, the technical editor of Yachting World, Matt Sheehan, a man whose voice everyone knows very well now, or they certainly should if they're paying attention on the podcast. Now, Matt, we're talking America's Cup this week because there have been a few developments on boats and on the draft protocol. Let's start with the boats. What's the latest? Is it going to be multi-hull? Is it going to be monohull? Does anybody know?
Well, that's a good place to start, Guy. I mean, it has been a little bit quiet after the Cup frenzy in March, but as you say, in the last few days there have been some interesting developments, and what's come out is that We now know that there are two studies taking place with regard to looking at the developing the new rule and ultimately what the next America's Cup vote will be. And those two studies are focusing on, one's focusing on a monohull, and it's actually the Royal Ocean Racing Club that have been given the responsibility to come up with a monohull rule. And then American US Sailing have then been given the job to develop a multi-hull rule. They've gone off into their separate corners. They're off to go and do their homework. But one of the things that's particularly interesting is that they've just released a few details on what we might expect to see, just very, in very broad terms. And it makes quite interesting reading. The size has already come down from what they're originally talking about, which was going to be 26 metres in old money. Of course, that's about 82 feet. It's come down to about 22 metres, which is 72 feet. So a bit of a scaling down by 10 foot already. But the particularly interesting thing about the monohull is it's going to have a canting keel, which would be a first for an America's Cup, certainly a modern America's Cup boat. And I'm told it's going to be a very, very powerful boat. It looks like it's going to have stacks of sail area. The crew numbers are going to be down as well. They're down from 17 to 13. So not only is it a more powerful boat, there's going to be fewer people to handle it. And for those who are just about to say, oh, well, if it's got a powered canting keel, surely they'll have powered winches. No, they won't. They're going to have manual winches. So they're certainly looking like they're going to set the bar pretty high for the next America's Cup, if it's a monohull. Of course, we don't know that. When are we going to know? Well, we're going to know at the end of this month, actually, in July. We're told that we're going to know what the America's Cup rule and what the outcome of this study will be.
Just to the layman, this is beginning to sound a little like a Volvo 70.
Yes, I'm not sure you'd want to say around the world in one of these, but certainly the fact that it's got a canting keel gives it certainly a similarity with a Volvo 70 and will no doubt make it a very powerful boat. Well, it will clearly make it a very powerful boat. That's what canting keels do. But yes, interesting to see that that match racing and the America's Cup, the Grand Prix bit of match racing, has actually gone for this technology.
Now, the other thing that's come out recently, Matt, is the draft proposal, the draft protocol, I'm sorry. Now, obviously a huge tome of a book, but you've been sifting, I understand.
I have, yes. It's very interesting, he says, trying not to sound too nerdy. The protocol, and it is only a draft at this stage, it still needs to be negotiated and finalised, but the protocol sets out the format for the next America's Cup, and not just the America's Cup match. It sets out the way that you get there. So there's all the challenger selection, a defender selection trial, if there is going to be one, how much it'll cost, all these kind of details. And there are quite a few interesting points. The first one just makes your eyes water, frankly. If you want to take part in the next America's Cup, and you're, of course, free to do so, you have to come up with a $3 million performance bond by the end of this year. And you also have to be prepared to spend $1.5 million on the entry fee. So that's $4.5 million before you've even actually put pen to paper to draw the boat. So it's going to be quite expensive by the sounds of it. So that's an interesting point. A lot of the document points towards independent race management, and this is something that's been discussed a lot, especially after the shenanigans of the last America's Cup. So there's lots and lots of things in there about independent race management, how the structure's going to work. But the thing that's particularly interesting is the structure towards the next America's Cup. And from 2011 and 2012, there will be 6 to 8 pre-regattas. So that's quite a lot of regattas. I mean, we saw this in the build-up to the 2007 America's Cup, where we had acts, and we had, in the course of 3 years, we had 12 acts and then a 13th just before the America's Cup. Here we're potentially looking at 16 events in 2 years, which is going to be pretty interesting. We don't know where they're going to be yet. I would guess the chances are they are going to move around a bit. It is going to be a bit of a travelling circus. But there's going to be up to 16 events over the next 2 years, at least 2 pre-events in 2013. And although they haven't actually set a date for the America's Cup yet, it's looking more likely that it could be in the autumn of 2013. The only thing is, we don't actually know where.
Well, I hope you got your breath back after that latest Volvo Sailing podcast. We'll be back again, of course, next time with all the big news from the world of sailing. But remember, if you want all the most up-to-date information on the Volvo Ocean Race, check in regularly to www.volvooceanrace.com.